a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Senate Taxation Committee meeting. And I would ask the secretary to call the roll.
Frisley?
Here.
Hunstead?
Here.
Maher?
Here.
Nelson?
Here.
Nygaard? Lederman? Hansen?
Here.
There's a quorum.
We do have a quorum. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from our last meeting? Moved by Senator Frisley, seconded by Senator Maher. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Let me introduce the pages that we have with us this morning. There's Seth Smith from Faith and Emma Schoenemann from Sioux Falls. Welcome. Also continuing as our interns, there's Robbie Canis from Clear Lake and Ashley Tanner from Gettysburg. The usual bits of introduction, please turn off your cell phones. If you're offering testimony, sign the register back there by the door. And as always, probably the most important announcement is, as you speak, be sure that you're speaking right into the microphone, because these proceedings are broadcast live to everyone that is in listening in, distance, and especially, I think, the value of what's archived out for future reference, because that, I think, is very valuable. With that, we are ready to hear testimony on our first bill. In fact, it's our only bill, Senate Bill 49, which is an act to revise the property tax levies for the general fund of a school district. May we have a proponent? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I'm Jason Dilges with the Bureau of Finance and Management. It's kind of a treat for me to be here with you today. I don't get this opportunity very often, so when I get to come visit with the Senate tax members, it's always enjoyable for me. So hopefully when I leave this chair, I'll feel the same way. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, hopefully this bill looks a bit familiar to you, in that it is the annual levies bill that we see each session that determines the maximum levies for property taxes for school districts. The bill typically is heard a little bit later on in the session, and ultimately is usually about the second to last bill that passes the legislative process, because it hinges on quite a few factors, specifically the education proposal that you ultimately adopt, changes perhaps in some of the estimates for valuation, student numbers. So there's a lot of moving parts that have to be taken into consideration before this kind of a bill passes. I think one of the reasons why you're seeing it a little bit earlier this year is that we wanted to ensure that the committee and ultimately the legislature has the opportunity to see that things are operating just a little bit differently this year as opposed to other years. You're no doubt familiar with the fact that assessed value growth statewide has been a little bit anemic over the last several years. And because of that, anemic valuation growth coupled with both increases in student numbers as well as the governor's recommended increase in the per student allocation for state aid purposes, we're actually in an environment that we haven't seen before, and that is that two of the three levies that we're asking you to consider or are projected to need an increase for the Pay 13 taxes. Like I said, I've never been in a situation like this where we've had to do that, because our valuation growth has been fairly good last several years. We'd had student numbers that continue to decline, so increases in the per student allocations have met with reductions in the levy because of those valuation growths and declining student numbers. If you recall, last year Governor Dugard recommended to you that school funding be cut by 10%. The associated relationship to property taxes was that a reduction in the levy would be necessary to achieve that because need would be decreasing. The legislature ultimately decided on a slightly different plan that ultimately cut funding by about 8.6% because we kept taxes frozen, essentially. The two classes were frozen. The ag was reduced just slightly. That resulted in not a 10% cut for schools, but, again, an 8.6% cut. So coming back this year, the 2.3% that the governor's recommended, we've got, again, student growth in FY12 of almost 1,500 students, and then student growth of about 1,600 students in 2013. Those are our projections. And because of that, we'll need that levy increase. The estimates, obviously, that we have to make for the different classes of property are based on ag growing 5%, 2% for owner-occupied, and commercial 1%. The proposal here would be that that taxes for ag go from $2.38 to $2.32 2 cents. Owner-occupied from $3.96 5 cents to $4.02 9 cents. Commercial $8.49 to $8.62 8 cents. So again, the owner-occupied and other growing, ag is decreasing. Remember now that we have to make sure that ag pays a fixed percentage of the total taxes. That's primarily why that's declining. Also, if you recall, I said ag property valuations are growing 5%. And so the corresponding reduction is to the ag levy for that. I'm trying not to get into too much detail for you, Mr. Chairman, members of committee, but I wanted to give you kind of a flavor of what we're expecting to see. And again, it's a little different this year in that we've got two classes that are scheduled to increase, one scheduled to decrease. This certainly will remain in the mix, but I'm grateful that you're willing to give us a shot to get this out there early on in the session. And with that, once we've had this discussion, I'd like to have the committee perhaps hold this until we get more information, get a little bit further down the session. So at the appropriate time, Mr. Chairman, I'd answer questions. I appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Are there any other proponents to Senate Bill 49? Welcome, and we will call you Senator as you come to this microphone in the Senate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I guess it's a gentleman of the committee and a secretary, madam. Mr. Dilges and I met in the hallway, and he says, Representative Dittert, would you come up? I'm Paul Dittert, State Representative District 2. And it was kind of interesting as I smiled to him, and I had looked at the bill. It's kind of surprising. I usually scan the titles, but I don't study them. But this is one bill that I usually study pretty close every year. And I will say that for the committee's information, not that I carry a lot of weight, but I do scrutinize the levies on all three classes of property every year as we go forward with this legislation. I think Jason, Mr. Dilges would say that I usually sit down with him personally and say, Jason, I really want to know if these levies are the levies we really need, because I'm really concerned about the local effort bringing in too many dollars, you know, and then we always have that with a state share of it then is carried forward and they have a little flexibility. As I sat down and before you called the meeting to order, I've been here a lot of years, which you all know, but the real interesting thing when Mr. Dill just indicated about the 18.5% that ag puts in the school general fund formula, that bill, I can't tell you which year it came up, but I'm going to say about three sessions ago, I scratched my head real seriously about supporting that bill. And I'm here to tell you I'm very happy, and it's one of the most important bills that I think I voted on, that ag continues to put in their 18.5%. Because as we know, as we're going through the new assessment process, that ag seems to be the only class of property that's growing in its values. And I want to remind you, House Bill 1003 is on its way over I assume it will probably be heard in Senate Ag. I would guess it would be heard in Senate Ag. But if we change that cap from 10% to 25% on the assessed value, that will, again, next year decrease the levy rate for ag property to fund school general funds. So I would urge your support of this. I thought maybe you'd take final action and the House could make it right later on, but maybe you want to wait till it gets a little closer to the crossover day. But I want to assure you that I will be meeting with Mr. Dilges to make sure that I'm comfortable with these levies. I've served on the conference committee on them several times. And knowing that you can't hit it perfect, the only thing I will say is I think since I've been here, they've changed the decimal point places. We've added more numbers on the back end to see if we could get closer to the right dollars that levy raises just by adding more numbers to the formula. And so with that, I'd stand by for any questions, and thank you.
Thank you, Representative Dennard. Further proponents to Senate Bill 49? Any other proponents to Senate Bill 49? Proponents? Are there any opponents to Senate Bill 49? Anyone in opposition to Senate Bill 49? Seeing none, we will open to committee questions of any of those giving testimony. Senator Hunstad.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the fact that you came to us early with this, but I'd like to ask a question about why I would guess, explaining this to the House, where we have more members who haven't been around very long, is an important time for you to spend, because this concept isn't so easy to get when you first start. After 12 years, I kind of think I know what we're talking about here today. So, but you did recommend that we would hold on to it for a while before we moved it over there, and I was wondering why you wouldn't want to go to the House so that you could. Obviously, the numbers will change, but I would like your rationale.
Mr. Secretary.
Mr. Chairman, again, Jason Dilges, Bureau of Finance and Management. Again, looking at the past, we've typically slowed the bill down. This year, a little bit different circumstances. I guess my thought process was that there's a couple of other bills that have been introduced, specifically the one that Representative Dennard talked about, and then there's also one that has been introduced in the Senate to change some of these other moving parts to the state aid, to the local effort versus state aid ratios and other things. So I guess I was hoping that maybe some of those bills would be heard and maybe bundled or taken in context together. If this bill were to shoot through and head to the House side, assuming that you get your two-thirds vote on the Senate floor, I would want the benefit of that kind of discussion that I think will be had at some point. But I won't profess that my thought process is perfect. But I think getting this out there early on in the session is a smart thing to do, and we certainly will have our work cut out for us on the House side. Certainly with the things that happened last year on education funding and the ratio of state participation versus property taxes participation, and perhaps some disagreements that we'll have in the future that I think we're going to have, just tells me that the discussion is far from over. Leadership has put in a levy bill as well, and so there'll be two bills basically that look similar. I clearly don't care which one passes. I just need to have one pass, and you folks can decide which one we need to pass. But there will be two levy bills, and then there, like I said, there's a Senate bill that affects this. The governor believes strongly in the 2.3% that he's recommended for schools this year, But to get that will require, at least according to our estimates, an increase in two classes of properties levies. Now, there was a section inserted into a bill last year that said, in the event that a two-thirds vote cannot be garnered to pay for the educational proposal, that the per-student allocation would have to be ratcheted down to a level commensurate with whatever a levy freeze would be. So, for example, if a two-thirds vote on this bill can't be achieved, we would have to reduce the per-student allocation, I think, from 2.3 down to about 1.9%. Interestingly enough, there's a Senate bill out there that's been introduced right now that seeks to strike that language. So, again, there's lots of moving parts here, and I think whatever your wishes are in terms of getting all those discussions to happen is my goal, and so I guess I'd have to defer to your judgment.
Thank you. Further questions?
I would just like to say, well, thank you for that, because I wasn't really clearly thinking about all those other moving parts. I was thinking more about the educational process as a move forward, but I see your thoughts, and I understand them very well. Thank you.
Other questions? Other questions from the committee? I guess the chair would ask one. You mentioned that the ag properties contribution to total local effort at 18.5. What percentage would there be coming from owner-occupied and commercial?
Mr. Chairman, again, and Mr. Olinger sitting behind me, he was, I think, more the author of that particular legislation 3 or 4 years ago, which basically fixed, and again, Representative Dennert worked hard on that too, but it essentially fixed the percentage that ag would pay, because there's only a two, in the code, it only says there's two proper class of property, but we really know there's three, and so it sets forth the ag at 18.45%. The commercial share then is the difference, which is 81.55%. Of those two classes together. Just a quick piece of math here would say that the commercial is about 50% of the total, about right. So you're talking about another 30% of owner-occupied. So rough numbers, 18.5 for ag, about 49 for commercial, and then about 32 for owner-occupied. Those are the... But what we have to be mindful of in the legislation is that we keep owner-occupied and commercial at whatever percentage that they are, so we prorate them, and then ag covers the 18.5%. So we have to back into the other two based on what we know ag has to pay for. So that's why, if you recall in my earlier testimony, a 5% valuation growth for ag results in a significant decline for the ag levy. And the authors of that legislation back in the day, I think, wanted to make sure that if we stayed on that healthy growth pattern on ag, that that assessed value growth wasn't to the benefit of the other classes. And so they kept that at a fixed percentage. So that's why you see the reduction in ag and not the other two classes.
Would it be fair to say that the rationale behind that was the fact that the other two classes of property do grow because of actual new growth, where in the case of ag, we don't make any more farmland, so there's not a lot of new actual growth other than, buildings and construction. Would that be a fair assessment?
Mr. Chairman, I think that would be fair assessment. Again, I wasn't in the inner circle, so to speak, when those discussions were taking place, but I think there was a number of factors. One, well, would the ag bubble burst? Two, we were right at the point of changing our method of assessment for agricultural purposes, and we kind of had an idea, but we weren't positive on how that would all play out. And so I think there were just lots of uncertainties out there. And to make I think everyone feel a little bit better about it. They put in that cap to mitigate in the event that, you know, valuations either fell or grew significantly. And so, again, we have to be mindful of that every time we do a piece of legislation like this, because we have to adhere to those specifics. But yes, yeah, there isn't any more farmland, but it's certainly possible that farmland can be converted to owner-occupied or commercial.
And I would guess that one other thing that might enter into this is that with the method of arriving at a taxable valuation on ag property, which we've seen go up fairly significantly, it could also go down.
Yes.
And in the event that there was a significant decline, we will still be looking for about 18% of local effort coming from ag. So, you know, it's a possibility that the situation could change.
Mr. Chairman, and it is almost like a hedge in good times and in bad. Representative Dennett talked about House Bill 1003, and as we can see, there are instances due to the new change in assessment for ag land that will cause assessed values to grow significantly. And based on some of those things, we can see that we're still seeing good times in agriculture. And so those good times are accruing directly to the benefit of the ag property holders, because their levies are going down commensurate with the growth in their valuations. Without a law like that, that benefit could be spread out between owner-occupied and commercial. Much in the same way, if valuations were to decline significantly, it's a protection measure for the other two classes of property, that ag would still have to maintain its 18.5%, which would mean maybe an increase in the ag levy where the other two wouldn't see it. So it's probably a good method in terms of fairness.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Well, we'll close public testimony on Senate Bill 49. And as was requested, and I had pretty much decided that we will not take action on this bill today. We will we'll withhold final action on Senate Bill 49 until a time a little later. We do have, I think we have about six more meetings of the Tax Committee before crossover day, so we will have some time to be able to bring it back up above the line and take action on it. If there are no further comments, Senator Maher.
Have we been assigned quite a few bills, or what is our bill load?
We have, and if you would like, I can tell you the plan for next Monday. I plan to take four bills, and that will be Senate Bill 123, and then also Senate Bills 73, 91, and 92. And then on Wednesday of next week, I will plan to hear four more. That will be Senate Bill 100, 110, 111, and 120. And that will leave then two bills for the following week. And I think that, I'm hoping that we will be able to handle that workload. The indication is that, there should not necessarily be a lot of out-of-town testimony or testimony, but we will be somewhat prepared in the event that if we had to shift us, but that's what my plan is. Any other questions? If not, a motion to adjourn would be in order. Moved by Senator Maher, seconded by Senator Frisley. All in favor say aye. Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you.